So welcome everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Here we are today at the end of a marathon on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day 2022. For some of us, for me, I'm in Melbourne, Australia. It is already 2023. So I'm telling you now, it was a good day. And today is the first day of 2023, and what a gift. And what a joy to be sharing it with you today. If I said that, my name is Joanne. I am a compulsive overeater, among other things. And just for today, I'm abstinent and grateful to be here with you. The topic today, restoration to sanity. I wanted to reflect on restoration to sanity, how we got there. I come from the big book. I really look at my recovery as coming from the big book and the wisdom that I found in that book. I've been coming to OA program since I was 24, and I'm now heading up closer and closer to 50. So I've been around and in this program a long time, but a lot of that time was in depression and relapse and not very happy. A lot of those early years, I struggled. I had abstinence for 1 year, and I remember it. It was just a gift. One of those, it just happened. I didn't think about it. And then I picked up. And then I spent many, many years in unable, keep coming to meetings, but unable to string 2 days together. And that was my life until I came across this sponsor. She put up with me. I burned through a lot of sponsors. I don't know if you have that experience, but, you know, I was like a pariah. I don't want to work with Jo because she's not going to do what you're going to tell her anyway. And how I was living in the disease, and I kept turning up. I was desperate for something different, but I had to get out of the way myself. And so I came across this sponsor that came from other fellowships. Like she had the wisdom of this big book and started guiding me through the work using this the wisdom in this in the big book. Going back to this book here, the Alcoholics Anonymous book, reading it paragraph by paragraph, as we do in the daily meeting, A Design for Living, which is my home group. So we read that book one paragraph at a time, translating the wisdom in that book to how we recover from food and food-related behavior. Because it's not easy to understand that book. Like, it doesn't even tell you, like, where are the steps? You almost need a guidebook just to find where the steps are. Page 58. Why aren't they at the beginning, Bill? Like, this seems like the format is not very intuitive. You almost need like a tour guide just to understand the book. And that's what a sponsor is, a tour guide. I call my sponsor a step guide, and I also have a food sponsor. So she took me through the steps, and I started to get my days together. I started to get some abstinence. I started to be restored to sanity. So if you have your big book with you, and you can open to page 58 and 59, if you want to have a look at that book, actually it's on page 60 when you turn over and you look at step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, that's why we're here. Having had a spiritual awakening. One of the previous speakers, as I said, it's a marathon of speakers, and we've heard such wisdom and such, I've been making notes from all the speakers before me. And one of the speakers today spoke about, and it just ran out of my head, so let me see if I wrote it down. Having had a spiritual awakening, talked about the problem, that I thought food was my problem. I came in thinking food was the problem. But when you read that step 12, having had a spiritual awakening, I'm asleep. That is the problem. We're asleep, thinking we're awake. I was asleep, walking through my life, sleepwalking through my life, getting older and older and older. I was 21 when I came into the program. But I saw the word, someone said chronic, and I'm such a clever little addict. I knew that chronic meant forever. And I didn't want to have a forever problem. So I knew the solution was just to leave those fellowship people. Good for you that you're getting well, but I am going to find my own way. I'm going to go back to the gym. I'm going to get a better boyfriend, a better job, a better life, better wardrobe, and everything will be fine. I'm going to follow that diet and everything will be fine. But I came back at 24. Now I'm obese. I'd started daily panic attacks again. I had my first panic attack, anxiety, proper panic attack. I was 11 years old. I didn't know what hit me. That's trauma, that's sadness, and I didn't know who to tell. I didn't know what was going on. It was my first big secret. Anxiety crippled me. And soon around that time, I learned I'd been with food. Food had been my friend from young, from baby, from a young age. But I learned that food managed those anxiety attacks, those waves of anxiety. And I learned that I could turn up to social, I could manage to look normal, or pretend to be normal through the use and abuse of food. I wasn't normal, but I could show up and kind of claw my way through life. And I was young, and that's the only thing I knew. I did the best that I could. And at 21, my doctor was the one that introduced me to 12-step fellowship. I didn't stay, but I did come back at 24, and I've never left. And step 12 in that big book says, having had a spiritual awakening, that's the reason we're here, to wake up. And I hope that you've heard something in this marathon that wakes you up, that wakes you up and gives you that hope to keep moving. And if you look at step 11, it talks about, I better open my book so I say the right words. Let's open our books to page 58. But if you look at page 58 and you see step 11, it talks about sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. Having had, so what was it said? Prayer and meditation. So then ask yourself, and this is what I ask myself and I ask my sponsees every day, did you meditate today? You know, and I had a sponsee last week who, was having house problems. You know, the plumbing wasn't working and all these kinds of things. And I said to her that morning, did you meditate today? And she goes, oh, no, I didn't have time. I had to talk to the plumber. I had to deal with this crisis. And think about that. Think about that. When I'm dealing with a crisis and I haven't brought that spiritual energy into it, it's the disease part of me. It's my self-will once more. And I know where my self-will gets me. Deep anxiety. Loneliness, unmanageable, the bills aren't paid, the dishes aren't done, and I am at that jumping off place. It talks about pulled from the gates of death. That was definitely me at 24. I could not imagine another day in this life. I could not stop lying. I could not look at another human being without blushing. And here I am today. My life is so different. I just don't recognize myself. And it's a joy. It's a joy to be with me today, one day at a time. It's a joy for me to be with me. My family are happy to have me. They weren't happy to have me back then at 24. So if you look at that page 58, it says, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. So I keep it really simple, 2 minutes. And in the book later on, it says, when it looks at step 11 in more detail, says, consider the day ahead. Have I considered the day ahead? So that beautiful moment in that sponsee that had plumbing issues, and she had to call a plumber, but because there was water leaking and it was all over the place. But can you connect to spirit, having had, you know, consider the day ahead, God, the house is leaking and I need help. What is the next best thing for me to do today? That's all it takes. Sit and pray and ask for help and guidance, and then get up and do what comes to you. Make a phone call. But am I pausing to connect? Because that's what this program talks about. That's what this book is telling us. It's a very practical way, practical tools for living this life today. We go to step 10. So I'm looking backwards, which is always knocks people around. I'm surprising them. Why don't you start at number one? Well, I'm about to get there, but generally I start at step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, guys, that's why we're here. We're asleep and we're waking up one day at a time. We fall asleep. That's what relapse looks like. I fell asleep driving the vehicle of my life. I fell asleep at the wheel. And then I look at step 11. Did you meditate today? You don't need to wait to months and months till you get up to step 11 to start meditating. Day one, did you pause? Did you consider the day ahead? That's what the book is asking us to do every day. Pause, consider the day ahead. What is the loving thing for me to do today? That question, it doesn't come from the big book. That comes from me. And I'll go back to that question in a moment. But I asked them to consider the day ahead. Did you do it? Yes or no? Ask yourself today. No one's going to know. Did you do that today? Consider the day ahead. Did you pause and listen? So I come from anxiety, and pausing and listening is very hard. I want to know the answer and I want to solve it and I want to make sure what's coming ahead of me. I don't like unanswered questions. I don't like ambiguity. It creates anxiety. Am I willing to sit in an unanswered question? And I'll come back to that question in a moment. Just looking for a moment at step 10. Continue to take personal inventory. Step 10 is a summary of all those steps, 1 through 9. And you're a beginner and you might not know what to do. And that's okay. But I take them to page 85 of the big book. Day one, I'll take you there. Look at page 85 of the big book and say, it on there, there's a paragraph and it tells you what to do, and you don't have to do it perfectly. But if you turn to page 85 right now, have a look. This thought brings us to step 10, halfway through page 85. And if you go halfway down that page, it tells you clear instructions on what to do. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. So we're going to start it today. Even day one, step 10, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I don't have to wait. Did I act out on those things today? Maybe, I don't know. Just consider, am I acting out? You'll get wiser. You'll get more clear over time as you do the rest of the work. It will mean more to you. But just right now, with the wisdom you have I watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, however you understand those words. And then here are the instructions. When these crop up, notice it doesn't say if. I get into them, we all get into them. When these crop up, they will. I'll tell you now. I like to give the end away so that you don't have anxiety. I'm going to tell you right now, you will get into these things. When they crop up, it tells you what to do. It's on page 84, actually. But Bill, why wasn't this near the beginning? I don't know. Or a signposted. You have to hunt for it in the book. But page 84, it says, when these crop up, we ask God. So when you ask God that phrase, that's a prayer. You pause. God, help me. Not all of us go to church or have an idea of God, but am I willing to pause and ask for help? In this book, it talks about an inner resource. Am I willing to rely on my inner voice, that whispering goodness? Am I willing to pause? And the reality of my life today is what I'm doing. My behavior tells me what I believe. Am I willing to pause? We either do or we don't. Did I pause today? So step 10 on page 84, it says, when these crop up, we ask God. So we pray, God, help me. That's I've asked God. I've paused. I've breathed. At once, ask God at once to remove them. So that's the pause. The next line, we discuss them with someone immediately. Don't wait till that night. It says immediately. We discuss them immediately. And you know, this might be, I do extended column work and extended, I teach sort of, it doesn't say it here, but my understanding of that phrase is I don't tell them the story. I don't tell them why I'm upset or why. I don't go into the drama because I tell you I'm an addict and one of my addictions is drama. I love drama. I love your drama. I love his drama. I love her drama. I love creating drama out of nothing. It creates adrenaline and I love adrenaline. I'll chase it. So you ask yourself, when I tell someone immediately, I don't tell them the story. I'm a delusional thinker. I learned that in step one. I'm powerless over my body, physical allergy, and I'm powerless over my mind. I don't see reality clearly. So I tell you the story. I'm telling you more of that delusional thinking. So instead, when I look at page 84 and it tells me about how to do a step 10, and it tells me we discussed it with someone immediately. I don't wait till that night. I don't wait till next week when I've got a scheduled appointment with my sponsor. Immediately, we live in technology. I send a text message or I tell whoever's around me. I say, hey, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling disturbed. I'm feeling a bit unsettled. I'm feeling, you know, a bit angry right now. I don't know why, but you know, it's probably better that I don't continue this discussion right now. Could we have it after dinner? Could we have it tomorrow? This is important to talk. I see this is important to talk about, but no, it's not a good time for me. Can we schedule another time? And actually, there's instructions for what I just did in the big book page. I think it's 118. They tell you how to do that. But, you know, sticking to step 10, we discuss them with someone immediately. So I'm raising young teenagers now. And I, you know, if I'm around me, I tell them, hey, I'm feeling tired. So I pray, God, help me. I tell someone immediately, whoever, hey, I'm feeling an emotion. And, you know, I don't like feeling emotion. I don't have to tell them the story. How many of us get into the story of how they done me wrong? You know, how, whatever, the drama, right? I'm feeling unsettled because what's going on when I'm unsettled is I'm disconnected from that higher power. I'm falling asleep. Step 12 tells us, having had a spiritual awakening, I need to wake up. So then we look at, I'm going through the step 10 on page 84, those four instructions. It's one paragraph jam-packed with instructions. We ask God at once to remove them. We pray, God, help me. I need help. Two, we discussed immediately with someone and make amends if we've caused harm. That's the third thing. Have I yelled at you? Gosh, I'm sorry I raised my voice. That must have been uncomfortable. I'm sorry about that. You know, if my fear, if my anxiety caused me not to show up or to show up in a way that wasn't healthy or to, I used to ghost a lot. I just wouldn't call you back ever. right? Or wouldn't turn up to work. It's actually an epidemic at the moment of young people who just don't turn up to work. I was talking to someone just yesterday. They just don't turn up. Oh, I got a better job. And they didn't tell you. It's like ghosting is a common thing. Well, I was a trendsetter because I've been doing this since I was little. Ghosting. So just for today, going through it again, we pray. We discuss it with someone immediately. We make amends if we've caused harm, and we turn our thoughts to helping others. So turn my thoughts. I might not actually help you, but my thinking is around you. What can I do that helps someone else? And when, you know, we were kind of restricted to our homes or restricted movement, sometimes that is as simple as go for a walk around the block, Joe, because you need exercise because you've been kind of festering in your home. Get out of the house and find that stranger and smile at them. Don't smile at the creepy strangers, but, you know, look for someone that you can share the gift of joy with just in a moment. There are hundreds of ways to be of service. How can I be of service today? What can I do for someone else today? So the topic today was restoration to sanity. And these steps restored me to sanity. I'm going to finish up by looking at that question I said at the beginning, which was, what is the loving thing to do today? That is a meditation question that for me brought in steps 1, 2, and 3. Steps 1 is that I'm powerless over my addiction, that my life has become unmanageable. And here we're looking at food. I'm powerless over my behavior around food. I'm powerless over my addictive behavior, that my life has become unmanageable. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. The bills aren't paid. I don't want to be with my partner. In fact, I want to leave. I want everyone to leave. You know, what does my life unmanageable look like for you? Obesity, you know, isolating. It comes out in us in so many ways. I'm powerless over my addiction. That happens in 2 ways. I'm powerless over my body, and I'm powerless over my mind. My brain doesn't think clearly. And yet I'm functioning here today, and I'm here today in front of you maintaining 30 kilo weight loss or more one day at a time. And doctors tell me that's unusual. I don't think it's that unusual in these meetings. I've seen people that maintain more than that for years and years and years. Without medical intervention, I have not had an anxiety attack for many years. I was someone who had chronic panic attacks, and they started at a young age. I have not experienced that. This program has given me recovery in so many ways of my life. Recovery is such a beautiful blessing and gift and joy. So I'm powerless. And how do I, step 2 is that connection to the higher power. I can't do it. That's step 1. With this idea of a higher power, God, you know, for some of us, it's just that whispering wisdom. That inner resource is what the book calls it. Am I relying on an inner resource, or am I figuring out what I'm going to do with the plumber? Am I figuring out how I'm going to solve that problem? Because whenever I'm solving a problem, I'm in my anxiety and I've stepped away from that higher power, that reliance on that whispering sound. The book uses the word calamity. My life is a calamity when I'm in disease. Loud clamor, noise. And it's justified. It really is drama. If I look around, there is real drama. Sadness, sickness, calamity. Underneath the clamor is a quiet whispering sound. That is that inner resource. That is the higher power. That's why we need to pause. And then step 3, if you go back to page 58, you'll see step 3. They've hidden it. So it's a secret. You have to go to page 68, 58. In fact, it's not even 58, it's 59 to get to step three, where it's written plainly. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So the word I want to emphasize there is care. A lot of us have a very punishing idea of a higher power. All right? If you do this, this is what I'll give you. But if you don't do it, this is the punishment you will have. Just for today, these 12 steps are a little different in their understanding, in my understanding of the 12 steps. Made a decision just for today. Can you make a decision? Can you decide just for this minute, even if it doesn't last, to turn your will? You know, my self-will doesn't work. It's a mess. Yet, the ferocious use of the will, it tells me again page 85, the ferocious use of the will, the proper use of the will in step 10 is to align myself with power. The proper use of the will is to align myself with power through prayer, through meditation, through application of these steps. What can I do today? We don't have to do it all at once. But what can I do today? And so I ask myself this question. What is the loving thing for me to do today? And that loving thing is the care. Because I tell you, I did not have a loving connection to a higher power. I came into this program full of self-loathing, self-hate, self-doubt, self-abandon. I gave up on myself before I even started. I believe that I was a chronic liar. I just was, they call it, I mean, you know, professionals might call it hypervigilant. I'm very aware of what you were thinking, and I would change anything. I would just change what I'm saying to manage you, because everyone had to be managed. Just for today and with the wisdom of these steps, I have more of an idea of who I am today. And I'm the same person with my children, with my partner, with my friends. Last night we were celebrating New Year's Eve. I'm the same person. Pretty much the same person with you that you see here today. It didn't used to be that way. I was a different person with everyone that I saw. And I'll finish on that meditation question. What is the loving thing for me to do today? So I'm going to invite you to do a meditation, just a short one. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and to take a deep breath, bringing in that higher power, that energy, that spirit, that whispering goodness, that whispering sound that has this gentle, loving energy. And think about what is ahead of you today. Where have I got to go? Do I have to get myself to bed even though it's late? Do I have to make a phone call? Do I have to do any appointments? What is ahead of me today? And then breathe in gently with that loving energy and ask yourself, what is the loving thing for me to do today? And we'll sit in meditation just for 30 seconds, and I'll time that time. 30 seconds, and our time starts now. All right, gently coming back with the serenity prayer. God, Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So before we're going to close up this recording in a moment, but just before we do, to think about what is the loving thing to do. So I often ask people, invite them to take a pen now and a piece of paper, and did something pop into your mind as the loving thing to do? I can tell you the invitation is to write it down, to take a pen and a piece of paper, even if you think, of course I'll remember. But I'll remind you, step one, we're powerless over our bodies. We have a physical allergy. I react differently to situations, people, food. And we are also powerless over our thinking. My thinking gets off beam. I have a thinking problem as well. So those quiet moments of meditation, that's where we connect to that inner resource. And we practice. This is a daily practice of connection, restored to sanity. That's how it happens. So listen one day at a time to that inner voice. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.